Amen. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. The Bible said, "And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." Amen. If the Lord will help me tonight, I'm going to take my text from verse 34. The Bible said, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly," means wisely, "he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom." You are not far from the kingdom. If the Lord will help me just for a little while tonight, I want to preach to you on this little thought on not far, but not in. Not far, but not in. And looking at this man that's in our scripture tonight and that steps onto the scene, that talks with the Lord, it doesn't take long to realize, Brother Bailey, that he had a lot of head knowledge. He knew a lot. He was a very smart man, a very intelligent man somewhat. He also, we could note that I believe that he appreciated from his repeating the words that Jesus had said. He appreciated the teachings of Jesus. He appreciated everything that the Lord stood for. But you can also feel, and when you read this in the undertones of this, that while he appreciated it, he did not totally grasp everything that God had for him. I mean, he knew, and it amazes me that there are people that are associated with church. They know a lot of scripture. And they, if you talk to them about the Lord, they know a lot about the Lord. But to have an experience to themselves, they really just don't have it. Just bear with me a few minutes tonight. This man that we're reading about, not only did he appreciate the teachings of Jesus, they just in studying the way he came forward and what the Bible said, one of the scribes, and this scribe that was there, he was above average in his attainments that he had accomplished in life. He was intellectual, somewhat in his training. He was very good in his way of speaking. He was a man of upright character, much the same way that the rich young ruler was when he came to the Lord. But the thing that he told the rich young ruler was, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Just bear with me just for a few minutes here tonight. With all these things in mind about this man that's in our text, and all that we see about him and can kind of see revealed in throughout reading the scriptures that are given to us, we begin to realize that there are some of the same type of people that we are associated with right here around here, even tonight. Come on, now there are some folks that they have some knowledge. They know a little bit about God. They know enough But seemingly some of those are the hardest ones you ever met to lead into the kingdom of God. I don't know why it is. Somebody told me today or yesterday, maybe it was today, they talked to somebody and just seemed like you talk to them and they know everything that you're going to say. And it's so hard to deal with them. I know there's been times that I've called my sister being raised in church just like I was and attended the church a lot of where we went to and listened to the same preaching and even sat under my preaching for a while. And I can call her up and talk to her. And the first thing she says, Brother Bailey, is, I know. And she can throw out a few scriptures to me. And she knows what she needs to do. But for some reason, it's so hard to break that callousness that has come over her heart to make her realize that it's going to take more than just head knowledge. It's going to take more than just being a good moral person. What we need in our life is a genuine experience with Jesus Christ. There is no replacement, no knowledge, no attainment, anything you'll ever do in this world that'll ever stand in place of an experience with the grace of Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight? Those that were singing, and I just kept hearing those words. They went over and over through that chorus. There's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live. And oh, what a reason. I'm telling you, there is nothing in this world that even comes close in value to the value of the power, amen, that the Lord has to take away sin. The fact that you can come in one way and leave a totally different way is amazing in itself. But it's the power of God. It's something we cannot explain with words. It's something that though there are others that are great scholars, the details just are not there. There's no way to really explain it or write it out on paper. I've read books for years, and of all those in their conversion experience, when it comes right down to it, they're at a loss for words as to exactly what happens when the blood of Jesus Christ touches the sin-sick soul and changes it, amen, from the old ways into a brand new person. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I cannot explain it. And my little boy sings sometimes. He said, I can't explain what has happened to me. I can only say I'm not the one I used to be. And that's about all I can say about it. But I want to tell you, we need more than just getting close to it. Rubbing shoulders and being in fellowship is not going to be enough. You see, we're not far, but we're still not in. We're near the kingdom, amen, but not inside it. We're still standing without the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. It's good to be around us. You hear me tonight? I'm going to try to preach. Amen. This man was not far. He was near in the Christian community. Attended church sometimes. He was there and went to the synagogue. He had rehearsed things over and over in his mind. And he knew exactly how things were supposed to go. And even when coming in contact with a worldly environment, if somebody on the outside were to misunderstand or to try to misquote or misrepresent the Word of God, you'd be the first one to tell them that they got it all wrong. But can I tell you that that's not going to be enough to get us through? I feel like preaching here tonight. Something that's on my heart. I was down praying today, and the Lord said they're real close. They're not far from it, but they're just not in. It wouldn't take much to throw
throw a lifeline. You're standing just on the outside of the door. You see the greatest shame and pity of what went on in the days of Noah is they stood there and beheld this man of God for at least 100 years building on an ark. They talked with Noah. They walked around Noah. And it is my opinion that a few of them, maybe in the onset, maybe helped a little bit in the building of the ark. But when the clouds began to roll in and the raindrops began to fall, they were only left with claw marks on the side of an ark. Amen. Because they were on the outside trying to get in. I'm telling you, it would be a pity, as close as the Lord is and the coming of the Lord is, for us to be this close and not be close enough to be left standing somewhere as a stranger when we stand before the presence of the Lord. And He says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. But listen, I have family. It's not going to matter any at all in that day when you stand outside, not far, but still not in. I'm telling you, God wants to have us on the right side when He returns, and He's doing everything in His power to try to get us there.
We are near, very near, so near that certain songs or certain memories, when rehearsed in our presence, hear me now, it still sends that same cold chill up and down our spine. It still makes tears well up in our eyes when we remember the things that we have beheld and the things that we've experienced. You're not far, but you're still not in. Hear me tonight. I want to try to preach to you. I won't preach very long. What keeps a man that is so close from getting in? How can you be this close and never really get in? You see, being near is just like living just outside the city limits and having the benefits of the city without being in it. And that's exactly what a lot of folks have. They have the prayers of the saints that are going up for them. And when they get in trouble, you're the first ones to call on. I'll never forget years ago, as an old First Church of God preacher, I used to come on the radio down in our area, and he was on there talking about the Pentecostal folk. And he said, I'm going to be the first one to tell you that I am not lashing out to them Pentecostal wholeness people. He said, my mama was one of them. And said, while we go through our formalities and we do our number, he said, I'm telling you, we get along just fine. But when sickness approaches and tragedy comes near, we find ourselves pleading for compassion with them good old folks, knowing we can't make it through by ourselves. Are you going to help me tonight? I'm trying to preach to you that we are near, but we're still not in. What is it that's keeping you? I'll tell you, first of all, it's a lack of a decision. We keep postponing it. We don't want to deal with it right now. We keep putting it off. That lack of decision. Procrastinating. I'll wait till later. I've got plenty of time. But I'll tell you another reason. Is there still that lingering love that's there for the world? But I want to tell you, you can read it across this front wall. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can I tell you, that's close. Come on, but you're still not in. I feel like I gotta tell you tonight, God has dealt with you generously. He's dealt with you kindly. He's come close to where you are. But yet, you have never made that decision to sell out and surrender unto God. Not far. Not far. Not far. I just keep hearing that. You see, it brings a comfort when at least the very soothes our conscience. When at the very least we can have some loose association with those that are in the kingdom without actually going in ourselves. There were five wise and five foolish. Huh? Only one thing missing in their life. Five of them ran out of oil. They were virgins. They had lamps. They were trimmed. Everything that you look at was just alike. But they did not have oil. They were not far. They said to the wise, said, give us of your oil that our lamps go not out. And they said, we can't give you our oil. If we do, our lamps will go. We may not have enough ourselves, but go and buy from them that sell. And while they were gone, you hear me now, while they were gone, the bridegroom come. And he sent out his message. And I want to tell you what happened. He gathered those five that were wise in. And the Bible goes on to say, and the door was shut. Somewhere those five foolish went. And they finally, when they come back, the five wise that they had associated with, the five wise that they'd been friends with, the five wise they'd been in a fellowship with, were no longer there. And the only thing that had changed is there was a door that was no longer open. It was shut closed. And they went to the door and began to beat on the door and said, open to us. Let us come in. We've been there. We know where you are. But I want to tell you, those five foolish never got in. I'm telling you, they were closed, but they didn't get it. They were not far, but they were not in. I know this is a little different, but I feel the burden of my soul tonight to tell you that God wants you to get on the right side right now. Come on now. You see, it is our decision whether we go or not. It's our choice. God is a gentleman. He does not force this on anybody. But I can tell you, when you're not far and you don't go in, it won't be long until you'll go farther away than you've ever been in your life. One must go in or he will go farther out. I don't have time to give you the testimonies of those that were close, not far, but now they're far away. Those that said, I'm just going to stay right where I am. I can abide here for a while. But now drugs and alcohol have taken control of their lives and driving them down a pathway that's far from their own will. They love to walk away from it, Brother Jeremy, but they just can't do it. Come on, why? Because when they were close, they didn't make the decision to go in. I'm telling you, morality doesn't always last. After a while, the devil begins to drive you, and he'll take you to a place that's farther than you ever imagined. I really got to try to help you here. You see the things that happened. Amen. The convictions that are not acted upon, they soon die. You get to the place where sin, once upon a time, it bothered you. But sin gets to where it doesn't bother you anymore. You can do that. You can say those words that at one time smote your heart and brought you down and tears in your eyes. But after a while, your heart gets hard and you start saying more and more. You get more vengeful and more hurtful and more hateful. I gotta try to tell you tonight, listen, convictions that are not active
acted upon. That preaching tonight on not for, but not in. When you do not respond to those conditions, after a while they die down. And you can do anything, and it doesn't bother you. You can get into anything, and it doesn't affect you. Hear me now. Truths that are not followed, they will die. Come on now, those things that you one time believed and you would have stood up for, it gets to the point that after a while you don't believe them yourself, and then you deny them and you say there is nothing to this. I feel like I gotta tell somebody, you're not for, but before you take that path to destruction, and the truth that you know is right suddenly dies out of your life, you better make your journey and walk on in.
I gotta try to help you here. I don't want to bore you. Amen. Impressions that are resisted are harder to be made again. Those vivid memories and emotions of former years that stirred your soul, after a while, it gets to where you'd beg to have those days back, but you can't feel anything. It does nothing for you. Come on. You may be saying tonight, preacher, what's this got to do with me? I'm just talking about those that started not far, but they never got in. Huh? Oh, but I'll never be that way. I still love hearing about the good old stories of the saints of God. There'll come a time when you won't. It won't move you. You'll be as callous as shoe leather. It will not affect you. You hear me now. I feel a burden in my soul tonight to try to preach to somebody right here in this building tonight. You're still not far, but you're still not in. And not only do all these other things happen, but obstacles increase with time. It seemed once that practically nothing was in the way. Come on, have an immediate decision. But that decision not being made, are you helping me here? Amen. After a while, by and by, everything gets in the way until the difficulties stand up, stack up like a mountain in front of you. There was a time there was nothing blocking you, but the longer you wait, the more things until you tell yourself, I can't do it now. I've got too many obligations. I've got too many commitments. I ought to tell you, while you're not for, you ought to make a decision to get in right now. When I was just a boy, 11 years old, and I started praying, same time I may have told you this, I had several cousins there in the church where we went to. They started praying same time I did. A lot of them were younger than I was. 10 years old. 9 years old. 8 years old. And I'll never forget as those mothers and fathers went to their children and pulled them up off the altars and said, you can't pray now. Don't pray right now. You'll have to sow your wild oats. And you, if you get saved now, you can't sow them and get by. Come on now. My mother never pulled me off the altar. She told me to keep on praying. And I watched this one by one. Some of them prayed on a few services, but it took notice. And I found out what those wild oats and those wild seeds to be sowed was the unfulfilled desires of parents that they never got accomplished in themselves, but what it manifested in the hearts of their children. Are you helping me right here? And I'll tell you right now, of those that were pulled up, there are none of them in the altar today. I mean, they've been through marriages. They've been through divorces. They've been through drugs. They've been into this and that and everything in the world. But they never
never got over their oath. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when reaping season came, they were not far. But when the reaper came through, it carried them seemingly a million miles from that they were so close to. I want to tell you tonight, don't put off that decision to turn your heart to God. Cause down the road, it will not be as easy as the obstacles begin to mount in your life.
I do not regret not one day of my life that I never took a sip of alcohol. I do not regret that I never come up now, took any drugs. I know there's some here. You've got saved after those sins. But I'm glad I didn't go there, Brother Jason. I'm glad whenever the kingdom of God came near my border, I didn't settle with not far. I just went ahead and got in. And now here I am, 24 years later, and I'm trying to preach the gospel to them. You want to tell me, let me tell you how close you are. I can see you standing at the gate. But God says, come on in. Come on in. Now is the time. Don't delay and wait till further on down the road. I can't do this. The habit of lingering gets stronger. It becomes easier to continue to linger and to muster up the boldness and the courage to make a decision. Come on, I could talk to the saints of God here for a minute about that. When you hold back on God, the next time it gets easier to hold back. When you grab onto the pew because you're afraid of the consequences of obedience, it gets easier. Until you harden yourself into preaching, the Holy Ghost don't do anything for you. But I feel like tonight the Lord said, the obstacles are not so great and the hindrance is not so much. You're still not far. Come on now. But you're just not in. Come on now. You know what I'd like to do tonight? I'd like to pull somebody over to my side of the fence. I know it's been preached for years. Oh, we're under bondage. Oh, we're miserable. Hey, come on. Do I look like anybody that's miserable tonight? I'm one of the most excited human beings on the face of the earth. I never had so much fun in all my life. It's trying to live for God. In fact, it's not even hard to live for God. I found that it's harder not to live for Him. Come on, you hear me now. Tonight I'm trying to tell somebody, you're not far, I can see you. You're almost within arm reach. Right here tonight, it wouldn't take much if I could get your attention and get you to look at me for a little bit. It may be that if you look on this preacher up here, it may get enough of your mind to focus in here, and I'm not going to cause you to make a decision tonight. You've been putting it off. You've been under conviction. God's been dealing with you, and you can't even deny it. It's been in your sleep all hours of the night. You've tried to pacify it. You've tried to play with this and to play with that, to put off the inevitable. But before the mountain gets bigger than you can climb, now is that time for us to arise. Amen. From the ash heap of our sin and return to the presence of God, where there is glory, while the door is still wide open. But I'm just not sure I want to go in. I can see this man. I like what you said. That was good. That's what he was saying. That was good. About loving the Lord. Putting everything you got into it.
And the Lord heard. It was a wise thing. He said, you're not far. Only one thing that you need. And some of you tonight, you've got enough head knowledge to be as good a Christian as there is in this house. But you're lacking one thing. You're on the wrong side of the blood tonight. Come on now. Well, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. He told that rich man as he was in hell, there is a gulf that is fixed between you and I. And can I tell you tonight, there's only one thing that would make you better than what you are. It's a good dose of the blood to be applied to your life, where you could go from not far and not in, until you could say, I'm in here. I entered in at the straight gate. I've done what was necessary. I tell you, I wish I could preach to you tonight. I've really got a burden for this. And I feel like there's some that are trying to block it out of their mind. They don't want to listen to this preaching. It ain't on their mind. They're trying to get everything else in the world to run through there. But it's inevitable. Tonight you're going to have to make a decision. You'll either walk in or you'll walk farther away. You'll not always be as innocent as you are right now. You hear me now? Listen, sin is deadly, and where it'll carry you, there's no promise you'll ever make a return. Not far. You know, I've often wondered in judgment if the Lord would remind us, you got pretty close once, but you never got in. You were close to feeling it, but you never got in. I don't want to right now. I can't. The Lord saw the distance between this man that he was talking to and the kingdom of God was so narrow that just a few short steps and it would give a total change of position. There'd be more than just admiration for the teachings. There'd be more than just the excitement about the doctrine. There'd be that time when you just fell in love with Jesus. I mean, don't y'all love this? This is the best thing ever happened to me. Maybe we need a preacher up here tonight that will come and give you a testimony of what it's like on the other side of the tracks. We heard the testimony of Brother Jason. Thank the Lord for saving me. He's been over there. And if he could stand tonight to give us a little advice, he'd say, don't get over there. Don't get over there. Because there's no guarantee that God's always going to pull you from the far side of the tracks. Because once you get so far away, you won't even hear the voice of God anymore. You won't respond to it. But tonight, oh, I wish I could preach. I wish I could tell you here tonight, God's calling somebody's name. All I could do this afternoon while I was down on my knees praying for this service was weep and cry at somebody that's this close. I said, you're just this close. What would it take? I thought tonight, Lord, before I come to church, what can I do? What can I say that could cause somebody to step over the boundary from being lost into being saved? That could cause somebody from stepping over the boundary from going to hell into going to heaven. All it takes is a step and a decision. When you're not far, the promise is that when you come, that He will meet you there. And it's there that He'll change everything that's gone wrong into that is right that you need in your life. Not far. Not far. Not far. I wish I could tell you tonight with better words. But you made reservations. I will. Someday. Later, at least a little later on. I've got to finish what I'm doing right now. When I get done with this. Not far. If you launch two lines into infinity, you start them out parallel. The least little deviation, one from the other, soon as the millions of miles begin to roll by, you look up and that walk that you thought you had with Him, suddenly you're a million miles away before you even realize it. Where is God? I've got a book somewhere in my library at home, Dying Testimonies of the Saved and the Unsaved. There is not an atheist that ever died an atheist. Every atheist on their deathbed confessed and said, if I'd only listened to God. Tonight, church, God's talking to somebody in His service. My wife's coming. I've preached my heart to you tonight. And I don't know what better way to tell you except that you're not far. But you're still not in. You're close enough that you can feel the heat from the preaching tonight. You can nod your head and acknowledge that truth. But you're still not in. You're telling me right, preacher. But you're still not in. How long are you going to abide on the outside of the door? The Revelator wrote and said, I've set before thee an open door. And no man can shut it. But I can tell you when the door is shut, you'll never open it. God's dealing with your heart tonight. I feel as certain about it in this service as any service I've been in these past month. God's talking to somebody's heart. You're not far. That's why you're here. But you're still not in. Why don't you come tonight as they play? Sing. All it would take to change your circumstance is to arise from the pew where you're sitting and take a walk down toward this altar. You'd be saved before your knees ever hit the ground up here by just making a walk. Let's come. Let's stand tonight if you would. This altar's open. Would you come? You're not far, but you're still not in. Let's come. Let's come and pray.